question is one I want to talk with you about tonight. Something God's been speaking to me about and something I want to share with you. The words of that song have happened in the last 2 weeks in this church. People who you didn't think their marriage was having trouble, I get calls from them of a mate, more than one, who walked out, left, gone, doesn't want to try anymore. I got a call the other day from an individual whose spouse used to beat them up, and Christians told them they shouldn't leave, and finally they left, and no one would listen, and no one would understand, and then just a few months after they left, the little daughter was drowned in a swimming pool. And all the Christians said, you see, you shouldn't have left. After the children were beat up mercilessly. I wonder sometimes, Christians, where we get our theology. I wonder sometimes who in God's name we think we are. To pass judgment on another individual. When Jesus Himself said, I did not come to condemn men's lives, but to save them. I was reading today the words of our Lord as He was walking along with His disciples and they were going from town to town and they came to one town and this particular town didn't want Jesus to stay and the disciples said, Lord, shall we command fire to come down and kill them? And Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you don't understand the plan of God. I did not come to destroy people's lives, but to save them. That song was given to me about a month ago by a very dear friend who had the very first line happen to him. He came home from work one night. He told me, he said, Mark, I want to give you this tape. He said, it's the only tape ever made me cry. I get a lot of tapes. People give me a lot of songs. I wrote home after our lunch appointment. I put it in. And as I wept, I began to understand why it touched him so deeply. Because he came home one night from work and found she was gone. We live in a very painful world, men and women. We live in a very distraught world. We live right now in a world that is only becoming more and more helpless, more and more harassed. As I watched some of the Olympics the other night, and they were interviewing a young woman from Bosnia who's running in a race. This is the first week she's been able to run around the track without being afraid for her life and dodging bullets as she was training. And I watched as they interviewed a young man, a sniper, as he shot on other people down on the streets. Our world is crumbling. Our world is falling apart, period. People's lives are falling apart. People's families are falling apart. They're helpless in the harassed, as John read in the scripture reading. This is what our God sees when He looks down on the planet that we call Earth. He sees a lot of little lambs that are frightened, that are very afraid, and that are running their own way, trying to find some sense of security and safety and love, and they're not finding it. I got a letter today, an unexpected letter from a pastor in another part of the country. He has a radio program and he was writing in this article. He said, you know, I recently asked to have letters sent into us of what people thought of their churches and their pastors and how it was going. And he said, there were many well-meaning people and there are many good churches. But he said, it broke my heart that 9 out of 10 are cold, callous, boring. People are not wanted there. The lost don't find a home there. People aren't cared about. There's legalism. There's intolerance. There's judgment and condemnation. And he said to his wife, I don't think I can take much more of this. The very place that people ought to find love and acceptance and affection is right here in our midst. The very place they ought to find it on our jobs is in us. They ought to see it in us, as John showed in the scripture reading. Jesus doesn't live here anymore. The question I want to ask you tonight is, will people see Jesus in you? Will you be Christ to the world you and I live in today? I want to read you some little quotes that I pulled out of a calendar by Billy Graham. I read over these periodically. I read all 365 before I came tonight. And I tore out these that I wanted to share with you tonight. If we're going to touch the people of our communities, we must know their sorrows, feel for them in their temptations, and stand with them in their heartaches. I thought that was so poignant. If you and I are going to touch people in our community, then we must feel what they feel. We must allow ourselves to feel what they feel. We must feel for them in their temptation. It's so easy to judge, isn't it? It's so easy to pass judgment today on people of a particular political persuasion, people of a particular sexual orientation, people who have particularly bad, repulsive habits. Very easy for us to pass judgment rather than embrace them as our Lord Jesus did. Who is my neighbor? He who is closest to me. My husband or wife, my child, parent, sister, the person next door, the couple down the street. It is much easier to be concerned with the deprived person halfway around the world and ignore the needs of those closest to me. How true that is. It is so easy to watch an individual on television, a starving little child on television, reach in your pocket and send $20 than it is to go next door in the middle of the night or in the middle of the day and reach out to the people who are living together immorally next to you. Then to reach out to the individual down the street who's living a lifestyle that you don't believe is biblical. It's so much easier to send money to missionaries than it is to get personally involved with those who aren't exactly fun to spend time with. Let me read you this one. A hair-lipped lad with pimples on his face sat over in the corner. No one paid any attention to him. He looked lonely, despondent, miserable, and completely out of place. But the friend who was with me went over and spent the evening with him. When he left, the lad was full of smiles. This friend had shown mercy. It's so easy for us Christians. It's so easy for us to talk about evangelism, to talk about reaching out to people. But who wants to do more than speak? Who wants to do more than shove words down people's throats? This is what it will take. It will take involvement. It will take social works. I was reading a quote today by a great man of God who lived years ago, and he said this: there's all this theological debate over the social gospel and the biblical gospel, but there is only one gospel, and it entails both. Who was the last life, and when was the last time you made a difference in another human being's life? When was the last time you went out of your comfort zone, out of your holy little life, and stepped out and became all things to another individual? Think about that. When was the last time? When was the last time you spoke to someone who made you feel uncomfortable? When was the last time you reached out and brightened another person's day? There are many lonely people who never know the hand clasp of a friend. They never receive a letter. They sit isolated in their loneliness. Having an interested friend willing to write to them and to visit with them would change their entire life. I know people in this auditorium who have never received a note from another person for no other reason than to tell them how wonderful they are, how special they are, and how much they mean to another person other than their birthday. And yet there are many who never receive anything. A friend once observed Love talked about is easily ignored, but love demonstrated is irresistible. God did more than talk. Will you do more than talk? Have you ever thought about that? Love demonstrated is irresistible. Love talked about, we can easily ignore. But when you begin reaching out, believing in someone, being patient with someone, being kind and useful to another human being, it's irresistible. It's irresistible. Wherever I go today, oh God, make me conscious of the people I meet. They need your love. So whether I can speak of you to them, say a kind word, or minister in any way, I would be like you, Lord, ever loving. Ever giving. Is that your life? Is that your mentality? Ever loving, ever giving. Whether you go to the grocery store, whether you go to meet the clerk, whether you go to the bank. I was recently going to the bank and I was refinancing my car. And I was talking to the loan officer who was waiting on me that day, and I was filling out the information, and we sort of struck up an instant friendship. And then the person began reading over my form. They didn't tell me this until a few weeks later as we got to know each other, because every time I'd go in there, I'd make a point to sit down, go over by the desk, say hello to them, see how they were doing. This person said, I got to tell you something, to be honest with you. This was after the loan went through. When I first saw that you were a pastor, my defenses went up, because the worst customers I deal with in this bank are pastors. They come in here like they think they're Almighty God, and they want me to break my back for them, and they're down my throat. When the clerk at the store doesn't treat you with much respect, when the gas station attendant isn't very friendly, how do you respond? Are you like Jesus to them, or do you give them a piece of your mind in the way you look or what you say? How do you respond? Do they see Jesus in your eyes? Do they see it in your smile? Do they see it in your warmth, in your kindness, in your willingness to take it on the chin and turn the other cheek and show a person today, tomorrow, that God is alive, He is well, He lives in your life? Can they see Him in you? Jesus wasn't afraid to associate with anyone. Are you? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Are you afraid to associate with anyone? We live in a time of great fear. White is afraid of black. Black is afraid of white. Black is afraid of yellow. Yellow is afraid of black. Yellow is afraid of white. White is afraid of yellow. Men are afraid of other men. Women are afraid of men. We live in a time of unbelievable suspicion. Will you break down the barriers by association? The greatest demonstration besides Calvary that God showed to you and I was that He left His holy temple and He came down here and He associated with you and I. And you see this starting from the earliest childhood at school. Have you ever seen it? All the popular kids, the right dress kids, hang around together and they make fun of the kid who doesn't look very good. And it happens right here in our church. It happens in school. It happens here. It happens everywhere. Will we make a difference? We don't want to associate with people of lowly state. They may not look right. They may not be good for our reputation. And I'll tell you something personally, it makes God sick. It makes God sick. God associated with every single one of us. He wasn't afraid to associate with a leper. He wasn't afraid to associate with the criminal. He associated with the prostitute. He did not worry that 2,000 years later, someone would make a repugnant movie called The Last Temptation of Christ. Jesus wasn't afraid of that. Why are you afraid of that? He knew what would happen. And yet He sat in a meal with all these high and mighty leaders. And a woman dressed in seductive clothing, who's a prostitute by trade, came and wept over His feet, wiped them with her hair. Jesus knew what everyone would think. Who cares? He had a point to prove, and that was God loves every person. What about you? Are you worried about your reputation? Or are you worried about God's reputation? That's a very important question. That's a very important question. If we're going to touch, I want to read you this. Why must we pretend with each other? Why must we wear assumed smiles of victory in our public gatherings and weep tears of loneliness and anger when we are alone? That's a very good question. Don't you get tired of the phoniness? You know why? We've become so trained to be phony. Have you ever walked up to a person? I've had this happen to me so many times. How you doing? I'm fine. I'm fine. No, you're not. Well, what does it matter anyway? No one really cares to listen to what's really going on anyway, so I'm fine. You ever heard that before? I hear that all the time. And I never let people say, wait a minute, I care. I care. I don't want you to lie to me. We're here to carry one another's burdens. If we don't carry one another's burdens, how are we going to carry the world's burdens? God commands us to carry the world's burdens. He commands us to get involved in the world we live in. With just one person, your life can make a difference. Every Friday and every Sunday, I stand at that door. Every single week that I'm here. And I have people go by me. The single mom, whose little child never has male affection. And I step down and I talk to the children. And the little children surround my feet. And they want to kiss Mark and they want to see Mark. Why? Because they know somebody cares. How about you? Do you have time for the little children? Or are you too busy with your friends? Are you too busy with your donut? What about you? Do you have time? You see, we're just like the disciples. Children can be an annoyance. I know I have four of them. That's how we feel in our flesh. Jesus had time for the children. And in a huge public gathering, his disciples said, get the kids back. Jesus said, hey, stop. Let them come to me. He had time for them. If you don't have time, Jesus said, for the least of these, you don't have time for me. What you do to the least of these, you do to me. I had a person come by me a week ago and I didn't know them. I'd seen them a couple times. I reached out and gave them a hug and they said, you'll never know how much that meant to me. 2 weeks ago, our 17-year-old daughter was killed. You see, there's so much going on in this church and I don't know it. I wish to God I knew all of it. I don't know all of it. And people need cared for. They need mercy. They need encouragement. I had an individual call me on the phone the other day. They've been coming to Evergreen for quite some time. Said, Mark, will you pray for us? Their voice was breaking. Said, we're in deep financial trouble. All of our electricity, things are going to be shut off. I don't know what to do. Would you pray for us? I wish to God I could do more than just pray. I get a call over the last couple weeks from more than one individual. Says, Mark, I don't know what to do. Feels like my whole world's falling apart. My wife left me. Are you going to make a difference in other people's lives? Because you can. You can. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know everything to say. But you can listen. You can cry. You can weep. Unless you learn to mourn with those who mourn, you'll never be like Christ. Never. You'll never be like the Lord. There are casualties all around us, all over this auditorium. There are casualties. There are hidden wounds. Everybody in this auditorium looks whole here today. But I can tell you right now, there are physical and emotional inside arms cut off. They've been hacked up this week. They've been beat up. They've been hurt. I pray, my prayer as brothers and sisters is that people here in Evergreen know you can talk about those things. You can share those things. You can lay your heart out on the table and it will be encouraged. It will be touched. It will be cared for. God despises our condemning attitudes. And He despises it towards the world. He despises it towards society. It's so easy for you and I to look on our world today and say, those filthy, miserable sinners. Those filthy liberals. Those miserable leftists. Those immoral condom pushers. Oh, we just love it on the religious right, don't we? Those fundamentalists always down everybody's throat. Now I want to tell you something about our Lord. It would have been hard to tell by Jesus' associations what He was, because He accepted every man. He loved every man, every woman, every child that He came in contact with. The only people Jesus had a beef with were the Pharisees. That's who He had a beef with. He's very hard on them. Very hard on them. And you know what? That's what got Him killed. That's what got Him killed. Because He said it like it was. They were filthy, stinking hypocrites. Like most of the religious leaders today in this country. They stink. They reek with deadness. They are blind leaders of the blind. In the meantime, the world is filled with little lambs who have broken little legs, who have fallen over the cliff and they're caught in a thicket. And you and I could make a difference in their life. I watched these kids go by me. A few weeks ago, a little 3-year-old boy went by me, same age as my own son. And his dad's just left. He doesn't have a dad anymore. His dad's gone. And he comes up to me every week. Do you have any gum, Mark? Do you have any gum? I try to make sure every week I have a piece of gum to give to him. Because I'm probably the only male influence for a brief, fleeting moment in his life. Another woman who's been coming here for a while lost her husband. Now she has children all to herself. What will you do? Will you extend yourself, invite them into your home, give them the $20 you were going to use to go out to eat? Take them and do something. What about the person you work with? What about the person at work who makes those ugly remarks to you? How will you treat them? I recently read a story of a man who was trying to get a big auditorium in downtown New York City. It was this theater, and he was trying to get it so his church could meet there. And the proprietor there, the individual who was renting it out, just despised this Christian, hated him from the moment he met him. Every time they'd have a meeting, he would swear at him, call him names. And this man just couldn't figure out what in the world was wrong, you know. And he just tried to continue being kind to him. And slowly but surely, over 7 or 8 months, the walls began to come down. And one day, he invited this man out for lunch. And the man accepted. And the man told him how years ago he had come to Christ, but he'd fallen away because of the hypocrisy of people who called themselves Christians. And now he hated God and was trying to destroy everything that Christians stood for. But he said to this man, this pastor friend, he said, "I've never met anyone like you. You tolerated me. You didn't walk away from me. You didn't screw up your face at me. You didn't speak harshly to me when I called you names. I see God in you." And God wants to know that about you and I. All it takes is giving people the time of day. You see, God put His Spirit in us to reach out to the world we live in, to be witnesses, to be mercy givers, to be kind, to be God to people. The Bible tells us in 1 John, no man has ever seen God. But they see God in us. They see God in us. We're His hands, we're His feet, we're His arms. They see God in us. The Bible tells us we're God's ambassadors. As though God were in us reconciling the world to Himself. He wants to work through you and I. He can only do that if you'll work with Him. He can only do that if you're willing to get out on a limb and take a risk. We're so busy with our own lives. It's easy to get busy with our own hobbies, isn't it? Why, it's summer, and we've been working really hard. And we've got other things to do with our family and with our kids. And with our friends. And we've got our rollerblading to do. And our mountain biking. And our softball games. And our whatever. We're just too busy. Maybe it's time to reevaluate our lives. Because you know, to be quite frank with you, this auditorium could be full. If we started extending ourselves even more than we've been. In fact, the Bible commands us to fill it. The Bible, without any any absolutely hesitation on my part commands us to fill this place. And to fill it again and again and again and again. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "Oh, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Pray that God would send out people into the harvest." It's my greatest prayer for you, men and women, for this church. Some of you are here tonight because someone took the time to get to know you, to love you, to receive you, and care about you. And you're here tonight. Your life is changed, or is changing, because someone else reached out to you. And do you know that's true about almost every one of us in this room, if not all? None of us are the product of ourselves, pulling our own self up by our bootstraps. Every one of us have been touched by the life of another person who cared about us and who loved us, whether it's human or whether it's God. God loves you and He cares about you. Every single one of you. Every single man, every single woman, every single child. He cares. And it's so important that you remember that. It's so important that in your busyness, you take the time to get involved.